And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Tonight we have with us Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Bobby's got a problem. Should she let two women who are on the planning committee for the Falltacular, their annual fashion show, should she let them go vote on Tuesday, since that's the day they're going to be planning the menu and rehearsing the fashion show? She doesn't think she's going to let them go vote. So we'll talk with them. And also at 9 o'clock, Mr. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, he has been charged with sexual harassment. He says Al-Qaeda and their imminent threat has a lot to do with that. Speaking of Al-Qaeda and their imminent threat, you didn't know there was an imminent threat, did you? Or maybe you did, but you didn't know too much about it. One of the reasons for that is because when the news broke, it only broke in the ABC newsroom. They didn't want to let anybody know about it. And I can understand, because they were afraid they might get caught in another bind, a CBS-style bind. Was this an authentic tape? So they gave the tape to the FBI and the CIA. Is this an authentic tape? Is this really an Al-Qaeda dude with a towel wrapped around his face, waving the finger in the air? You know those Al-Qaeda tapes that the guy's got the finger?
And I will tell you this. Your ass is going to be grass. When I get done with you, your mother will wish she had never had you, and all that stuff. The streets will run with blood.
So the FBI says, yeah, it's for real. Matt Drudge reported, though, that there was a small problem with ABC giving the tape over to the FBI. They left out the last 15 minutes. Now, what do you suppose was on that last 15 minutes? Well, what was on that last 15 minutes was a warning from Al-Qaeda that if you voted for Bush-Cheney, the streets of America would run with blood. Something to that effect. And that wasn't what the FBI was able to review, because they didn't get the tape from ABC. ABC bought the tape from an intermediary in Pakistan, making very clear that they only paid a $500 transportation fee. Like Al-Qaeda is, you know, they're like DHL Express.
Right. This is the Al-Qaeda tape. My name's Ahmed.
Now, we don't do checkbook journalism, pal. We're not paying for that.
No, but there is a transportation fee across the border from Afghanistan-y-wanny into the Pakistani thing. Okay, well, we'll certainly pay that. Thank you very much. Good day, sir.
He's wearing a little Al-Qaeda Express cap.
Okay, I got the tape here. Just signed for it. Okay, his name's Skip. He's got a little thing that says Skip. Gets out of a van.
Gets out of a van in the Khyber Pass.
Right, I got the tape for you, ABC. Okay, I could just sign right there. It's very good. Okay, you have a very good day, sir. Yeah, thank you very much.
And so, anyway, they got the tape, and it says the streets will run with blood. Now, ABC didn't let us know about this immediately. The news broke on the Drudge Report. And the very interesting fact that this tape contains a fairly implicit threat that if Bush-Cheney get in, the streets will run with blood. ABC says that it didn't want to run the tape because, and I'm quoting a source who is unnamed, they didn't run the tape because they were, it's a tough tape to throw out in the middle of an election, whatever that means. It's kind of a, you know, it's a, people are voting, we don't want to throw this in the middle of an election. They then said that, well, we wanted to make sure we got it right. We didn't want to have a CBS on it. We didn't have another National Guard story on our hands like CBS had to deal with. Until finally they said, okay, we got the tape, but not before Drudge published transcripts from this. With all the stuff about how we're all going to, you know, our mothers are going to regret ever having us if we vote for Bush and Cheney. Now, I ain't saying ABC is biased, but I think the fact is we're living in a day and age now where news gathering organizations are pretty. I would say pretty bold about the fact that they would rather have Kerry as president than Bush. Nobody could possibly deny that, including people that are Kerry supporters. And how they come up with this idea that the news media has gotten more conservative? Good God. Two biggest news organizations, two of the biggest, ABC and CBS, have gone out of their way to try to push your vote in one direction or another. It's kind of interesting. Now, my wife calls me today and she says,
Did you hear?
No, I didn't hear, honey. What happened?
Oh, my God. The guy that won the baseball World Series thing that happened.
You mean the World Series?
Yeah. Yeah. The pitcher, the man who throws the ball from the mound.
Yes.
Okay. He was on Good Morning America, and he said, vote for George Bush, and Charlie Gibson, the host, went all ape crap.
And I said, no kidding. She goes, oh, yeah. You got to look it up. Well, I've been looking. I can't find anything about Charlie Gibson, the host of ABC's Good Morning America, going nuts because Schilling said vote Bush. Although that's what Schilling did say, vote Bush. So that was that. And then the other news that we have here is that Arafat wants to be taken to Paris for treatment because he's sick. And let's just hope that plane doesn't crash on the way to Paris, huh? I am kidding. And the Israelis going to let him back in. I know a lot of you guys, younger people, don't know who Arafat is. He's the guy that is the so-called president of the PLO, the Palestinian Authority, although nobody can quite remember. I don't remember the UN observing those elections and counting the votes. I bet you they had a few chads hanging in that one. What do you think? Arafat got voted president of Palestine, the Palestinian Authority. Oh, okay. Well, if you say so, I'm sure there wasn't any voter fraud in that one. Talking about voter fraud, of all the countries in the world that ought to be the least under scrutiny, it's us. Yeah, okay, so there's a few pregnant chads, whatever. If you lived in Florida as long as I did, loved the place, lived in Miami for many years, they got a hard time counting down there. There's no problem. So I always wondered why my ratings were so crappy. I don't think they can even count the number of people listening to a radio station. So they're going to fly him to Paris because the Paris cats, man, they're down with him. And the World Series chumps, the Boston Beantown Red Stockings returned there to Boston, and they are now the big champs, baby. First time since 1918. The curse of the Bambino is over, like the Bambino could care. I bet you the Bambino stopped caring about 2 seconds after he croaked and went off to, started playing a harp, like he could care less. The curse of the Bambino. Babe Ruth traded from the Red Sox in 1918, and they hadn't won a World Series since. Sports, especially baseball, lives and breathes these kinds of traditions. Baseball, in fact, doesn't really have much of a sport unless they have their history and their tradition. And so they like to fall back on the Green Monster at Fenway, and they like to find the Cubbies now are going to be the next team. When's the last time the Cubs won a World Series? Like 1903 or something, when they pitched with a ball that was like the size of a grapefruit? I mean,
yeah, it's been a long time, let me tell you. It's a long time coming.
Last time the Sox won a series, they played with something called a dead ball. You know what that is? Dead ball is it's not as tightly wound as today's baseballs. And so when you hit it, it's almost like hitting a beanbag. Not that bad. But when you hit it, it doesn't go that far. They called it was the dead ball era. And then they began winding the baseballs tighter with that horsehide cover. And lo and behold, guess what happened? The Bambino starts parking it for 60 a season. Well, gee whiz. You ever wonder why a big fat guy with tiny little feet could swing a stick like that? A guy that drank his breakfast as well as his lunch, and maybe sometimes his dinner. It's a thing called that little tightly wound live ball thing. Anyway, congratulations to the Boston Red Sox, and to the Boston Patriots, and to the Boston Bruins, and the Boston Celtics. I guess it's their year. I guess Kerry's going to win. 1-800-449-8686. That's what he thinks, anyway. Little does he know that Kerry is probably going to begin a tradition for Democrats. They won't win another election for another 86 years. They'll call that the curse of the, I don't know what, the Bambino. All right, I'm kidding around, man. Tonight we have Bobby Dooley at 8 o'clock, in our second hour, I should say, with Steve Dooley, the president, vice president of the Western States Homeowners Association, on should she let a couple of women vote who are going to be helping her plan the menu for their fall-tacular. Are they that busy? And also at 9, in our third hour, Bob Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, will be on. And he'll be talking to us about the curse of Canoe Head. I'm kidding. He'll be talking with us about some sexual harassment rap that's got him all agog and aghast. This is the Phil Henry Show. Let me tell you that online right now is the cover of our brand new CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. Go check it out and order it, please. All the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids. We are taking advance orders now on the best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. It's at www.philhenry.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Take some phone calls here. And coming up, Bobby and Steve Dooley in our second hour on voting and how maybe you shouldn't vote. You know, there's all kinds of elections, man. You got to vote in every one of them, for crying out loud. And also, coming up later on tonight, Robert Greene. And we do have a Lonely Hearts Radio, I think, with Bob, your host, taking your sex dedications or whatever, your romance dedications. Is this Hal?
Hello, Phil. Hal Levalier. How are you?
Very good, sir.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your program very much, sir.
Thank you.
Phil, can I give my phone, can I give the phone over to my wife? This is Viola. Viola, she's going to talk to you.
Are you flying an airplane, sir?
Say that again, Phil. I can't hear you.
Are you flying an airplane?
Yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am. Got Piper Cup 23. We're on our way to Laughlin, Nevada right now. Here, give it. I'm going to give, this is Viola, my wife, Phil.
All right.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, Viola, how are you?
Oh, this is wonderful to talk to you. This is wonderful to talk to you. We got a kick out. What's that?
Hey, just talk to the man. Oh, it's the radio.
What's he saying?
Talk to the man. Let me fly the airplane.
Are you guys having a problem?
No. Phil, who are you voting for? Can I ask you that?
I'm going to vote for President Bush.
Okay, he's... Yeah.
Wait, you said you're voting for Bush? Hal Levalier, Phil. Are you voting for Bush?
Yes, sir. Did I hear your plane engine suddenly stop?
Yes. We've got a little bit of a fuel line problem. He's voting for Bush, see?
All right, let me have it. I'll tell it. I tell it better than you.
Okay, here's what I want to tell you. I'm voting for Bush. She's voting for Kerry. It's a hell of a thing. I'm sure there's a lot of families like that. And...
Officer Phil, just fly the plane. We have a problem. We want to vote on Tuesday, but we're not sure if we'll be able to.
Why can't you vote?
We don't have the landing gear fell off on the plane as we took off, so there's no way we can land unless we ditch in the Colorado River, or I say we ditch in the Pacific Ocean.
Let me do it.
You guys decide who wants the phone and who doesn't.
Phil, Hal Levalier here. Oh, there goes the engine again. I don't know what's wrong with the damn thing, but I can tell you right now, it's... really? So, I...
We'll turn it back on.
All right.
Get out of here! Don't know whether I'm going to ditch in the Pacific or ditch in the Colorado River. Turn it back on. Oh, Hal, you can turn it back on. 1-800-449-8686. What's with those people? Private airplane. I thought you weren't able to use phones in the airplanes, you know?
That's if it's a commercial plane. You can if you own the plane and you're the pilot and you say it's okay.
Oh, okay. I got to give myself permission then.
Right.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Bill. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Henry?
Yes, sir. It's Phil Henry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good.
I got a question for you. I heard your remarks about Yasser Arafat, about the situation he's in.
Uh-huh.
I just don't understand something. Why don't you guys just be fair? Why don't you guys say it both ways? You said that Yasser Arafat is a criminal, is a murderer. What do you call Sharon?
Well, being fair isn't necessarily, you know, saying equally. I was simply saying that Arafat was not popularly elected any more than any dictator is. Are you telling me that the Yasser Arafat's election was above board and completely without fraud? Are you telling me that it was completely above board and without fraud?
You want to tell me that President Bush was a criminal without fraud?
Sir, can't you answer my question?
No, why didn't you answer my question?
I asked you a question, but you're like most people. You answer a question with a question.
No, I'm going to ask
you. You have no argument. You have no intellectual argument. You just want to answer a question with a question, don't you?
No, that's not true. I'm going to answer you a stupid question.
Do you believe that Yasser Arafat runs a corrupt-free regime, or isn't he, in fact, a dictator?
I have absolutely no doubt about it that Yasser Arafat is a dictator. This is not what I'm calling for.
I don't like dictators. Sharon was popularly elected and was installed by a parliamentary system.
But you should say who Sharon is and who Sharon was.
Sharon was elected by his people. Sharon was elected by his people. Excuse me, sir.
Sir, you know, everybody goes on the air.
It's like all of you guys are narcissists. All of you guys are narcissists. You don't want to hear an argument. You just want to keep screaming until you drown everybody out. Is that it?
No.
Are you that narcissistic, sir?
I'm asking you a question. The question that I asked.
Will you allow me to answer it? Will you allow me to answer it? Or are you going to scream over my answer?
Go ahead, Henry.
Well, what's the question? I couldn't.
The question is
hysterical.
Can you give me the beautiful resume of your beautiful love of Sharon?
Love of Sharon?
Yeah,
I simply said that the
man. You guys start bending his ass. You guys gotta start kissing
him.
Hey,
man, let me ask something. What makes people like you so afraid of the future?
Well, I'm not afraid of the future.
You're petrified of it.
You're
petrified of it. You're petrified of the future.
Because the future, I am petrified of the future that has Sharon in it. And
well, you should be, if you support Arafat, you should be afraid of Sharon. You should be deathly afraid of him. Yes, you should be crapping in your pants afraid of him.
You're playing that bait and switch. I did not say I support Yasser Arafat. As a matter of fact, you asked what I think about Yasser Arafat.
Why are you getting all upset? What are you upset for?
Sorry?
What are you getting upset for, then, if you don't support Arafat? I simply said something about Arafat.
Yasser Arafat is the president of something called Palestine. You know what Palestine is?
No, he's the president of the Palestinian Authority, not Palestine.
It's called Palestine, you stupid thing. Palestine. What you call your freaking thing? What you call your history, man?
Palestine is something that exists. He's the president of the Palestine Authority. Hey, Bill, your time is language, you dumb freaking raghead. Yeah, that's right. Somebody uses the S-bomb on me, man. I go after the R-bomb, the RH-bomb, the raghead bomb. Guy's upset. He says, I don't support Sharon. I don't support Arafat. But why do you say what you think? Hey, you know, Sharon was elected. Arafat got to where he is at the point of a gun. But I understand. We're supposed to be fair. I understand all countries are created equal. Well, no, they're not. All countries are not created. People are created equal. Countries are not created equal. Palestine, I don't know what Palestine is. Arafat is the president of the Palestinian Authority. That is something that was concocted after he sat around with some of his guys and smoked a whole bunch of freaking strawberry kush one night, baby. I don't know what the Palestinian Authority is. That's something that exists in his head. Palestine is a place where people live. Some are Jews. And they have been so badly served by this guy named Arafat. I mean, I don't even think he knows what he's president of. And he's got a daughter living up in Paris with his wife. A daughter who, funny, he doesn't want to strap a suicide bomb to her. Now, why do you think that is? How come he didn't want to put a bomb on her? I thought he thought it was a real good thing. I thought he said it was all really very honorable and stuff. Or am I misquoting him? Should I be attributing that to one of the other fine Palestinian leaders that the poor people of Palestine? Oh, my God. Those people are they're hostage to lunatics. They're hostage to a doddering old fool who had a great chance in the 1990s to lead his country out of chaos. He had a great opportunity, and he just peed it away. And now what? And the poor people of that region of the world, instead of blaming him, which they should, of course, you can't. If they say openly that they don't support Arafat, they wind up shot or hanging from a telephone pole, such is the fascist dictator that he is. Now, go ahead, call up and say the very predictable, you must be a Jew. Come on, I want to hear that one. You must be a Jew. You're right, I'm a Jew, man. I got my little beanie on, I'm the whole thing. I got the big nose and the beanie, and I don't drink, and I eat lots of deli food, okay? There. You happy? Even though my name's Henry, I'm Irish Catholic, and I'm about as Mick-looking as any of your average fine members of the IRA. What did I say, terrorist? All right, 1-800-449-8686. How come Scott Peterson's mom won't take that hose out of her nose? We'll be back with more.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, everybody, welcome. This is Danny Carlos. Welcome to Disco, right here on a Thursday night, the Danny Carlos Disco Jam. Yeah. Hey, vote Kerry. Vote for Kerry, man. I think he's the best one. Oh, sorry. Yeah, man. Disco, baby. Disco Thursday night. I'm Danny Carlos. Hey, give me a call, man, if you want to hear something or something, man, okay? Like the phones aren't lighting up or nothing, man. God.
Hey, seriously, man, he's getting pissed off. Why don't you call up, okay?
Yeah, man, call up, man. Give me a request or something. Yo, yeah, that's Deborah Harry, man, and that is called... what's that say, man?
Heart of Glass. Heart of Glass, that's what it's called. Heart of Glass with Debbie Harry and Blondie on tonight, Disco Thursday night. My name is Henri. And that's Danny Carlos. We'll take your requests, the songs you want to hear, and all you have to do is call us up, and we'll do it for you, right?
Yeah, man. But, you know, give me a call or something, okay? Hey, here's the guy. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, baby? You play How Deep Is Your Love by the Beach, the Bee Gees, or I forget what they're called.
Yeah, I'll play that, man. It's called the Bee Gees, not the Bee Gees. What a... God, man, are you kidding me?
I don't know what it's called, man. My girlfriend likes the tune.
All right, here's the Bee Gees tonight on Disco Thursday night. Danny Carlos, along with Henri. Henri, what's up?
Hey, what's up with you, man? Everything good tonight. Everybody gonna live large and love.
Rise in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain.
Two you used to sing, man, in a discotheque?
I did, yeah.
Just sing the song for me.
I want to feel you in my arms again. Baby, come to me on the summer
breeze. Oh, baby, God, man, you sound like you got epilepsy or something.
Hey, man, don't even go. Don't even disrespect me on my singing. Don't even disrespect me on my singing. He is you, love. I really need to learn. Of course, you. I got that Michael Jackson thing going on, you know?
Yeah. Michael Jackson, what, you playing with little kids or something?
Hey, man, that is so disrespectful. You do not disrespect me like that.
All right, man, let's check out ABBA now here on Danny Carlos Disco on a Thursday night. Hey, man, vote for Kerry. Who you voting for, man?
I'm going to vote for John Kerry, man.
Right. Everybody out there, vote for John Kerry. You're a person of color. Vote for John Kerry. I know the white people are going to vote for Bush. Ain't no sense in me talking to them.
Word up on that, man. That's right. All you white folks going to vote Bush. Only one night out of the week I vote Bush.
Heard that? Yeah. All right, that's called Dancing Queen, you know? Don't look at me like that, man.
When you say the words Dancing Queen, I saw you shuffling in the corner there, man. I thought you was talking about yourself.
Oh, that is cold shot, man. That's a cold shot.
All right, listen, everybody. This is Henri along with Danny Carlos. Welcome here to the disco night. I'm going to play another song. It's for all the ladies out there. I know all the ladies out there just love to hear this song. Yeah, this song. Three brothers singing this song. Actually, this is a brother and two white guys singing this. You heard this song?
Yeah, this is the Fine Young Cannibals.
Right, this is a brother and two white men. They're singing She Drive Me Crazy. We'll dedicate this one. To Yvonne, I want to dedicate this one to Vivianne, too. They're listening tonight over there at the Siete Mares.
Can you sing like this, dude, man?
Yeah, listen to this.
The way I see it.
Yeah, I got it going on, you know.
Touching me real.
A lot of people think I sound like Prince.
Oh, man, you sound more like Freddie Mercury, man.
Oh, now you're calling me gay. See, that's cold, man. Cold.
She's driving me crazy.
See, our women love it when a man gets all vibrato like that.
Yeah, tell me more, man. Hey, man, who you voting for?
I told you, damn it. I'm voting for Kerry, man. Check it out.
Like no one heels. She dressed.
And I'm sorry, I'm tired of this, man. I gotta go get my cards. I just had a points changed on. I'll see you later.
Okay, Henri's leaving, man. That's no reason for us to hang around then, too. This has been Disco Night. Anybody wanted to make a request? Hello?
Yeah, man. Hey, I don't think I want to, like, bum you out or nothing, man, but she drive me crazy, you know, disco song, man.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like, some new age techno crappy song, man. It's not even for dudes, man.
All right, here's something, man. Check it out. This is the theme from the Dr. Laura show, man.
This ain't no theme from Dr. Laura, man. This is called I Got a New Attitude of Pointer Sisters.
No, it ain't, man.
Hey, man. The brother's right. It's about Pointer Sisters.
I thought you was going out to get the points changed on your car, man. Get out of here. This is the Dr. Laura theme, man.
No, it ain't, you stupid. Man, you're the kind of person that keeps our people down. You're so stupid, man. You think this is Dr. Laura theme. No wonder we can't get Kerry elected.
All right. I'll check you later, man. This is Danny Carlos of Disco Night. Yeah, man, that's Dr. Laura singing. In fact, she cut this song.
Bullcrap, man. That's the Pointer Sisters, you dumb... Damn.
Hey, man, that brother's right. This is the Pointer Sisters.
No, it ain't, man. I listened to Dr. Laura's show. She sung this, too. See, that's Laura. That's Dr. Laura.
I love...
You know all that thing going on?
Hey, man, don't even try to talk to me about singing.
Hey, man, if you don't know that the Pointer Sisters, you're the dumbest brother I've ever talked to.
Oh, that's really a cold shot, man.
Play the song, you stupid...
Okay, Danny Carlos is out, man. This is Dr. Laura.
No, it ain't, man.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we've got Bobby and Steve Dooley, and they're from the Western States Homeowners Association. Should you vote on Tuesday, or should you help Bobby plan the Falltacular Fashion Show and luncheon? She'll be saying, quite candidly, she thinks you should vote. Or you should help her. She should vote. She should go vote for Kerry. If you're voting for Bush, come help her plan the menu. And then on over there, the second hour is what I'm trying to say. We have Bob Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, and he'll be talking about how he sexually harassed a woman. And guess what? It's Al-Qaeda's fault this time. Now, I ordinarily don't like talking about these things. You never hear me say, hey, we're on at a new affiliate in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, or something like that. You never hear me mention new affiliates. And I rarely mention when stations drop us. We're getting dropped in San Francisco, and I'm sorry to hear that. And I knew we have a fan base in San Francisco. I wanted to tell you that because I didn't just want to go away. And I wanted to also enlighten you as to why shows like mine. In fact, there isn't a show like mine anywhere. Why my show continues to have a difficult time in traditional news talk formats. Imagine, if you will, a show like Jon Stewart's being dropped right down in the middle of the CNN broadcast day, and no one told you that it was a comedic relief, shall we say, from the rest of the day's serious journalism. In other words, they just dropped it right in the middle of the day and didn't really let it fit in, just forced it to find its own way in the midst of all of that. You would be, I'm sure, confused, wondering, well, what is this? Is it real? Is it funny? Is it fake? Is it... And that was the case and continues to be the case in San Francisco and other markets where they have failed us. Do I blame myself? I don't blame myself. How can I blame myself when I'm working my ass off? I mean, I'm working my ass off doing more than five different talk show hosts do in one show. And the only thing I ask of my affiliates is to take a look at what kind of a show this is. Try to figure out how you can help it blend and meld with your normal broadcast schedule. Don't just throw it into a day part and hope it sinks or swims on its own. If you're hoping to just pull a show down off the bird and get instantaneous, magical, massive ratings, buddy, this isn't my show. You know, go look for some other 90-day turnaround, of which it doesn't exist. We're very proud of the show that we do. We work very hard at producing this show. I resent terribly people, programmers especially, who come from a news background, not an entertainment background, claim to know what it is that I do, but in point of fact don't. We ran into the same problem in Madison, Wisconsin on that Air America affiliate. They got a guy back there who thought, well, okay, looks like I've heard so much about the show, put it on, and the next thing you know, he's getting complaints because I ain't your typical Air America host, you know? Somebody told me once about this thing called free speech and sort of, you know, being your own person and being an original and all of the things that I value, and apparently they don't value it that much at Air America. Not that much. So we're not going to be on the air in San Francisco, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't give a crap one way or the other. San Francisco, great town, nice people, it ain't the end-all, be-all of the world. If we're back on, great. If we're not, fine. I'm on a lineup up there with Michael Savage, this guy who apparently people think is an American original. He uses real original terms like sodomite. Yeah, hey, there you go, man. What are you, like some freaking member of the ghetto police? And then they got Bill O'Reilly, the usual predictable lineup. One after the other, the same kind of quasi-professional radio. I don't need it. I don't need to have my show dropped into the middle of that mediocrity. I don't care if people want to listen to it. Good. Go listen to it, man. I'm sure it's cathartic. That's good for you, okay? I'm trying to do something else with the medium besides the same old, same old. One of these days, we're gonna find a station. I'm beginning to think that I'm going to have to just create it. A radio station that is entertainment driven, not run by former news directors. Until that time, we will continue to try to slug it out. But we thank you very much for your support in San Francisco. We are on www.philhenryshow.com. We're on in a lot of very good markets, Seattle, Denver, Los Angeles, Miami, Atlanta, Detroit, great many places where people get it. But up there in the Bay Area, man, it ain't so much the folks, but the people that program the radio stations up there are still stuck in somewhere between 1975 and 1980. I talked to the guy that runs that KGO. This guy's typical of a lot of guys in radio. I'm talking to this guy over here at a radio and records convention, and he says to me, man, are you funny. You are fantastic. Guy's standing there with a drink in his hand, right? You are the funniest guy. He went on and on and on about how you think he'd stick my show at his station? Forget it. He don't need another 500 old ladies calling up and giving him a hard time, man. It's hard enough with the host that he's got. He's got all the old ladies crying. He's got all the old ladies crying because they want to meet him all and go to bed with him. You're going to put me on that station. San Francisco is a provincial burg at best, and it's difficult to get a foothold there unless you're a real generic kind of an act.
I guess you're pretty much intent on not going back in that market, right?
Why do you say that?
Because you're burning a hell of a bridge here.
What am I saying? I'm not saying anything.
Well, I mean, you're calling provincial and stuff.
It is! It's something that's not bad. They know what they like. But we'll press on, okay?
Yeah, nice save.
Shut up and get out of here, will you? Nice save. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, and our web address, www.philhenryshow.com. Bush and Kerry hit each other on this Iraq ammo. Have you heard about this? This big thing of ammo that went missing. I don't expect that too many people remember the shows we did at the beginning of the Iraq War, but at the beginning of the Iraq War, I was on the air telling you that there was a lot of traffic going back and forth between Iraq and Syria. And that the Russians had indeed given the heads up to Iraq about the imminent United States threat and the imminent United States attack. About a month later, and I'm telling you, this is news that's about a year old. About a month later, the word came down the Russian special forces had helped Iraqis evacuate explosives out of Iraq and into Syria. And this is what Senator Kerry is hanging his hat on in the waning days of the election. This news that is 10 months old. What happened to the explosives? Where did they go? This is another example. President Bush, for his part, said, and I think it's a rather stinging comment, the senator's willingness to trade principle for political convenience makes it clear that John Kerry's the wrong man for the wrong job at the wrong time. He's taken a lot of different positions. He's rarely taken a stand. Consistency is not the senator's strong suit. He went on to say that Kerry will say anything to get elected. I can't disagree with any of those comments. I'd like to, but I can't. I can't disagree with any of those. The guy said everything and anything. And then for him to get on stage with Bruce Springsteen, shake Bruce's hand, and then wipe his hand on his suit coat, what? How does that show Bruce Springsteen any respect? Did you see that in the news? He shook Bruce's hand, and then he took it, he looked at his hand and then wiped it on his pants. Now that's pretty, I don't think that shows much respect. Yeah, there's a whole bunch, 380 tons of explosive ammunition that disappeared. They want to know what happened to it, right? Where did it go? Now, nobody ever asked this question. If we had not invaded Iraq in the first place, it'd still be there. Is that, like, good? So, in other words, it's still there. Saddam's got it. Well, we know where it is. Where is it? Saddam has it. He's got 380 tons of explosive ammunition. Saddam Hussein does. Well, great, now terrorists have it. What's the difference? Ain't a hell of a lot we could do about it. We thought he had WMDs. I guess he didn't have any WMDs. Now there's explosives that are missing. Everybody's making a big deal about that. I guess we know that he had the explosives, huh? Does that make any difference to anybody? Probably not. I guess we didn't get in there in time or something. I don't know what point they're trying to make. Should we have invaded sooner? Should we have, once we got into the war that we shouldn't have been involved in, should we have, you know, everybody loves to play this game, which it's called peanut gallery time. You know, you're sitting up there, you're Monday morning quarterbacking. You shouldn't have been there, but as long as you're in there, did you ever have a grandmother who did this kind of thing? She'd say, I don't want to eat in that restaurant. And then you go, well, we got to go there anyway, Grandma. And then she's like, well, now, hold on for a minute. Why isn't this food? And she's nitpicking over the menu, because as long as they're going to eat there, now she wants to make sure that she gets her fair share of the food she didn't want to eat in the first time, the first place. I mean, it's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild. Meanwhile, some guy stabbed his girlfriend because she's voting for Bush. Or no, Kerry, that's it. She's voting for Kerry. And then some dude tried to run down some Republican politician in Florida. Tell me people aren't losing their minds around this election. I heard someone say this today, too, as well. He said, you know what, this may not be close at all. This could very well be a much, much more profound win for Bush. In other words, it may not be close. I said, well, why do you think everybody's saying that it's close? It's because they want to just keep the interest peaked. Fact is, Bush may come out of this thing with a win by 4, 5, 6 million votes. 1-800-449-8686. Yes, this is Phil Hendry. I'm a Democrat, but you go ahead and assume I'm just a right-winger because I'm not voting for the guy that everybody says I'm supposed to vote for. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, that's on. That's probably going to be on Tuesday.
That's your final planning meeting for your fall-tacular.
Yes, and the final meeting, not only the final meeting, Phil, but we're also going to have that evening, we're going to be planning our fashion show and luncheon that highlights what the women in our community will be wearing this fall. It raises money for projects here in Western States.
Right.
And a couple of the girls said to me last night, actually mentioned it in emails, that they're going to be voting on Tuesday and they want to watch the election of the presidents that they're going to have. And, of course, that took me a little bit by surprise because the women gave a commitment to be here on Tuesday and now they're going back on it. And we've been planning the fall-tacular since September. I want to mention, we have a lot of interest from Gazebo Journal, Cocktail Magazine. They're going to have photographers here. And these gals are part of it.
Yeah, that's kind of like Bush. They said Bush lied too.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Is that your husband?
Yeah.
The Bush lied too.
Well, Steve's point is that why would they lie about being here for the meeting and then go and vote? Isn't that what President Bush did in Iraq?
It's a very important election. A lot of people are going to be taking time off.
Well, you know, I was talking to my husband about that, and he made a very good point. He said, all elections are important. That's what everyone's always saying. They're all important. And I made the point to Terry and Nicole. Terry Fitch and Nicole Wasserman are the two gals. I said, it isn't going to be the end of the world if you don't vote in this election. And they said they were intent. And I told them that they had promised, and they said they didn't know the date at the time that they promised. And I said to them that that was typical of, you know, their party saying one thing and doing something else on it. And that's when I called Steve and I said, I don't know what to do.
Well, you got a problem. You need to replace whatever help these women are going to give you with somebody else because they want to vote.
But, well, no, both women are working on our menu preparation and are helping with the models. And Tuesday, the day the president of the United States election, is our rehearsal. So they're impossible to replace. And I guess that's why, you know, Steve's my husband. He just knew what to say.
Well, I told her that she's going to have to tell them they can't go out and vote.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I know it's a drastic step, Phil.
You can't tell people that they can't vote.
You can't tell people that they can't vote, but they made a commitment that they're going to be there all day to help with the fashion show. And I want to tell you something else. It's enough to express your opinion.
It really is.
Really, it's just... Isn't it enough? I think it's in a way, that's voting. And
just to express your opinion.
So I have told the ladies that we will expect them here on Tuesday.
Well, isn't there enough time on Tuesday for them to go out and to vote, to leave a few minutes during the day to cast their vote?
No.
And come back?
No, I wish there was, Phil, but we're going to be in meetings all morning with caterers and the rehearsal and then the luncheon planning. There just isn't going to be any time. And I told them that. Now, understand that these are very young wives, and they're eager to make a first impression, and I'm sure that they will understand, you know, in time.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you voting? Are you voting? Are you and your husband voting?
The only way that I'm going to be able to vote, Phil, is that I'm taking the boys to school Tuesday because our nanny's on a college trip, and I'm going right by the church where we ordinarily vote. I can dash in and out, but that would not even be possible if Jeff was taking the boys.
Well, it just doesn't seem fair that you get to vote. But these two women, you know, won't be able to.
Well, it's not, Phil, it's not about fair. I just lucked out.
Well, she lucked out on it.
You know, and...
Well, let me ask you a question that you don't have to answer.
All right.
Who are you going to vote for?
I wonder if I should answer. No, I'm going to vote for Senator Kerry.
You're going to vote for Senator Kerry?
Yes, and I know that goes against your beliefs.
No, that's fine. But I'm struck that if the two women who are not letting, that you're not letting vote because they are a part of the fashion show planning... Our Bush supporters, that's two Bush votes canceled out.
Well, Phil, this doesn't have anything to do with, this is absolutely not about politics, and I think it's just a little paranoid.
Well, look, no, I'm just saying that these two women who don't get to vote for Bush because you want them there planning the fall-tacular fashion show, but you get to vote for Kerry because you've decided that you need them planning this fashion show and they can't spare a moment. I just want to give our phone number, okay?
And then I want to comment on what you said.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Is it true that just expressing your opinion is good enough? There's something about being able to vote, though, you know?
We have many, many presidential elections, and these gals are young women, and they're going to have an opportunity to vote in a lot of elections. They made a commitment to be here on Tuesday to help plan the menu, to lay out a lot of the outfits that the models are going to be wearing for the fashion show. I told them I will expect them here, and I think when you make a commitment and then you say you can't be here, you really are... almost a liar.
A little harsh.
I don't think so. I don't think...
You don't think it's harsh calling them liars. Look, if you were to say to me, what are you doing, say, 3 weeks on like, November 2nd to Tuesday, I suppose I would know that it was you know, election day. Well, I'm going to be voting. But if you're planning this, as you said, back in the summer, they may not know the exact date of the vote, and then they realize, well, wait a second, that's the day that...
Well, they should have checked their day timers, Phil, and I send out emails to all the gals telling them to check with me before they plan on doing anything else. I specifically told Nicole and Terry that I wanted them to call me and check with me before they made any plans. I'll give an example. Captain Rothschild, whose son was due to go in for surgery, the poor little boy has a cleft palate.
Oh, wow.
I found out that his surgery was to take place on a week from Saturday. I said, you can't do that. That's when our fall-tacular is. And you know what she did? She canceled the surgery. You know, this, it's not like I am not giving women fair notice. And so what I've told the gals is this. You will not vote on Tuesday. I'm sorry. We need you here.
Well, if they go ahead and vote anyway, what are you going to do? You're going to throw them off the, you throw them off of your Fall-tacular commission?
If they go ahead and vote anyway, that is going to be very troubling. Very troubling, and we'll look to see if there's something we can do about that. I'm hoping it doesn't get to that point. I'm hoping that I don't have to talk to an attorney.
Well, I don't know what you can do in terms of talking to an attorney. People have a right to vote.
People have a right to vote, but they're members of the Homeowners Association, and I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. And as such, I do have executive privilege to pass down requests of our homeowners that I do expect them to fulfill. So I'm troubled, and I don't understand why, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I want to go out and vote. These two women, by the way, Phil, are not the most intelligent people.
Well, it doesn't make any difference how smart you are. It is your right to vote. And you can be an idiot. You can be a brain surgeon. You can be something in between. You can be an Indian chief. The fact is...
What do you mean Indian chief?
I'm just using, you know, like a, the baker, the banker, the Indian chief kind of thing. The fact is that these women...
Well, Phil, I don't want to have to assess their property a penalty. I don't want to...
Well, how can you legally assess their property some kind of a penalty?
Because the Fall-tacular is paid through by the Homeowners Association. And if they don't show up to help work on this and instead are running around and voting... which is fine, if you would have told me, then I have no choice but to go to our CC&Rs.
I don't know how you can legally do that.
Phil, I'm the Homeowners Association president, and I already told them, and they went against my wishes. It was shocking, but they did. They went against every decent notion that a human should have. I said to them, no, you won't vote on Tuesday. You're going to help me plan the menu for the luncheon. And if they go out and vote, they might as well walk up to me and, like my boys like to say, hawk one up and just shoot it right into my eye.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, on to talk about a fashion show that's going to be taking place. And the fact that they need all hands on deck for this thing, and two of the women are going to be out voting on Tuesday. And Bobby has, in her words, forbade them from voting because she needs help planning the menu for the luncheon. If they go ahead and do it anyway, she feels she's legally within her rights to assess a penalty on their property. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Like I said, this election, man, stuff's getting very contentious. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
If Dracula bit you and you were wearing a garlic necklace, wouldn't you sue the garlic farmer? You savvy?
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley join us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're talking about the election coming up on Tuesday. Tell me, Bobby, before we go to a phone call, and I know your husband who wants to comment too, the Fall-tacular is an annual fashion show?
Yes, Phil, the Fall-tacular is, we have four of them actually every year, and we name them after the seasons. We have a Winter-tacular, a Spring-tacular, our Summer-tacular, and our Fall-tacular, and we have our fashion show, we have a luncheon, we also have an evening formal where we can see what you know the well-dressed woman is going to be wearing this spring. We work very hard on it. These two women, Terry Fitch and Nicole Wasserman, said they would help me, and now they're saying they're going to go vote. And... you know, I don't know where
they're coming from.
Yeah, I don't know where they're coming from.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I mean,
what is that about?
Well, I know they made a commitment, but the voting, especially in this election, people take it very seriously. Barbara, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil, and hi, Bobby and Steve. Bobby, I think you're are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think you're taking your position as president just a little too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
There are
mm-hmm.
some things you can do
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
these ladies can do.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they can vote early.
Mm-hmm.
There are
mm-hmm.
early voting
mm-hmm.
locations. Are you mm-hmm. actually listening to me?
I'm listening to you.
Okay.
Why do you ask
they
that?
They can't because you're mm-hmming mm-hmm. me.
Well,
okay.
I can hear everything. I just want you to know that I'm here.
I want to tell you something.
Well, I want you to know that I'm acknowledging what you're saying.
Well, you sound like you're ignoring me. Okay, now, the
oh
other
my God.
Thing... Would you be quiet, please?
You're a little sensitive.
Hey, quiet.
You're a little
quiet,
sensitive.
Quiet, power monger. Be quiet.
Oh, aren't
okay,
you?
Now here's another thing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
They can vote by mm-hmm. absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can mm-hmm. they can get
you
a
know,
list.
This lady,
Phil.
She's right about the mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What?
It's driving me nuts a little bit.
Well, excuse me. I didn't
well,
know that I was
I'm
sitting
not
here with Adolf
you.
And
I'd
Eva.
Like you to be quiet. It's my turn.
Well,
I have the floor.
And am I speaking with Adolf or Eva?
Listen, Bobby. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Close your lips.
Mm-hmm.
I have something important
oh,
to tell
man.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you done?
I'm listening to you.
Okay. Okay, there's the early voting.
Can I ask you something? When you let everybody out of the gulag...
One person at a time, please.
Oh,
there's the early voting, the absentee ballot voting... And check this out.
Can I have my husband? Can I have my husband draw me a bag while you're talking?
Hey, Bobby.
Go ahead. Have him draw you a bag.
You can, Bobby. What you can do
mm-hmm.
is you okay? Is mm-hmm. every California employer? You're probably not these people's employer.
I know all of this. I know all of this.
All right. All right. They have an hour off to vote by law. You can be sued for interfering with their right to vote. That's
there's only one
thing.
Problem with what
here's
there's only one problem with what you're saying.
Here's another thing that you can do. Here's another thing that you can do. Hello,
I'm the
Bobby.
President of the
hey,
Homeowners
Phil,
Association.
Let's put her on hold so I can tell her something.
And I say, don't
hold.
You put me on hold, Mr.
Rude.
Henry.
I'd
this
like to put you on hold.
If you do, I will. If
here.
You put me on hold, I'll call
yeah,
your boss.
Yeah, that's a good
well,
idea. Go away.
I want to put the lady on hold.
No, if you do, I will call David Hall, your vice president.
Oh,
so
okay.
he can't put me on hold, otherwise
okay.
I'm going to complain.
Is he on hold yet?
I will complain.
Okay. Then please be polite.
All right.
While I'm
I want Ms. Dooley on hold.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. She could be kind enough and considerate enough
Steve,
to
you wouldn't
change
believe this woman that's on the phone right now is the most obnoxious bitch.
I can hear her talking. Yeah. That's real nice.
What
okay.
did you hear, ma'am? Are you hearing her?
Yes, I am.
Would you hit the bus B button in there, please? Because I can't hear it. I don't know what this lady is hearing.
Using foul language.
She is?
Uh-huh.
Hit the bus B button. Both channels have to be out.
Are we ready?
Go ahead, here.
Okay. She could she'd be kind and can... She's still talking.
She's like, what I'm
she
saying
is still talking.
I can't hear anything. Hold on for a minute, Rhonda.
Okay.
I can't hear what's going on the line when you guys put it on hold. It has to be taken out in the control room, bud.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, she could be considerate
hey,
enough of the people of it, not just these
nice
two ladies that she seems to have.
Pretty nice for my age.
Absolutely.
She's still talking.
Are you still hearing it?
Yeah, they're both still talking.
Are you hearing it, Chris? Chris can't hear it.
Okay.
It might be just
well,
bleeding through.
Well, let me try
through.
To say it. Just
go ahead.
Try and
it's
say
probably
it.
Just she bleeding can... through on your end, dear,
okay.
and nobody else can hear it.
Okay, fine. I'll try and ignore her.
Because my mother was always...
Change the date of the rehearsal.
I have
and that would be
yeah.
considerate not only to the two ladies that she's trying to prevent the right to vote, but to everyone. We have 5 days until the election. And yeah, she could do that. And the other thing is, mascara, if you
know,
basically that's about it. She's taking her power too seriously.
I'll tell you right now, you got a hell of a body for a 40-year-old woman.
Thank you. No husband talks to his
wife. She could be, you know.
Well, no husband really talks to his wife that way.
She could be sued. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and she could do something or allow these people to go out and vote one at a time.
She's got the greatest butt I've ever seen, too.
Because she does not have the... You know, and I think you should call your vice president. You should hear what these people are talking about.
Are you still hearing them?
Yes. And
what are they
talking about?
What are they talking
they're
about?
They're just talking. They've called me a female dog, and they've called. And they're talking about each other's posteriors and somebody else's posterior. And they're just trying to run
I need to have,
so they know I can hear them.
I need to have MIS and engineering in here, please, Chris.
Yeah.
I apologize for that, Barbara. I do thank you for your call. Are you concluded your comments?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm
Thank
a poll worker, and I know that, that they have to write
to vote.
You
know what we ought to do? Go to Mexico.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686. If we're having a problem with bleed on the line tonight, which could be because I know engineering was in here working, I apologize, but I can assure you that it is not going out over the air. Let me go to, where are we going? Line 5 here. Nikki. Hi, Nikki. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going on with the bleed, but I now know that this 40-year-old Homeowners Association president has the nicest ass that, I don't know, somebody's ever seen.
Bobby, are you aware that we could hear what you and Steve were saying?
No, I was not. No, I was not. And I don't think that that is funny.
Well,
no?
Ma'am, we did not put you on the air. I had you on hold.
Well, I would say that that is incumbent upon you, Mr. Hendry, to assure that I have privacy.
Well, I think you should probably watch what you're saying when you're representing your entire homeowners association all the time.
You know, if my husband admires my body, I apologize.
Well,
most women should be as lucky as me.
Can I say to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not disputing anything you have to say as far as them making a commitment and honoring it.
Thank you.
I think that is, you know, it's nobility, and I, that makes sense. As far as having any ground in terms of bringing legal action against them,
yeah,
you just don't have anything to stand on there. I'm curious as to what you would.
Well, here's
if you enlisted the help of a lawyer, what would you?
As the Homeowners Association president, I need to keep tabs on the activities of our homeowners. If they're leaving the community for whatever reason, certainly while we're planning a huge fashion show and luncheon, I need to know.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah,
and I mean, certainly you've been several times you're the homeowner president. I'm certainly clear on that.
Well, I do need to remind them of that. Not so much you, but them. And, you know, it's funny how cavalier people are. They just say, hi, Bobby, and they don't recognize what I am to them.
Well, it's a job meeting, and I understand that.
It really is.
Then you are, in fact, their superior. And that needs to be dealt with accordingly.
I don't know that she's their superior.
Well, do they work for you? Do you pay them?
No, they're
No, these people, if I could just jump in, these are just homeowners who volunteered to help put on a fashion show.
Okay, so they are contractually obligated to pay into the Homeowners Association, which you take
and
responsibility of running, which is a volunteer position, correct?
And if they volunteer to do the fashion show and then they back out because they want to go vote, well, I admire that, but how many elections have we had? And now all of a sudden they want to vote? No, it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them about $300 a month.
$300 a month?
Yeah, so you're just not going to have anything to stand on when it comes to the law.
All right, listen.
You are
Nikki,
that is very condescending. Yeah.
I'm not.
When your dear woman called you on being a mm-hmm, or I wasn't.
I'm
I thought
simply,
you were kind of being genuine at first and then.
I'm trying to listen
after
to you.
Wow.
These people.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley won't let some women vote because she needs them for her fall-tacular. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, not to check with me before she did that. So what we're going to do, Phil, is I have asked Stan and Ramona, who are security personnel at our gate, to keep an eye on these two women if they try to leave the compound.
Wait a minute. If they want to go vote, you're going to have two members of security not allow them to go out?
I don't know. I have to check with our attorneys, but I don't like the idea of them saying, oh, okay, we won't vote, we'll be with you on Tuesday. That would be lie number two. First they said they would, then they said that they wouldn't, and then they say they're going to. I think, you know, I don't like liars, and I think it's so typical of people that they're going to vote for Bush. It really.
But you don't know if they're voting for Bush.
No, I don't, but I can. Well, I do, actually. I talked to one of their husbands.
I think it's very wrong for someone who's voting for Kerry to allow herself to go vote on Tuesday morning.
Well, so this is the divisiveness that our country doesn't need right now.
No, but I mean, but you get to go to vote for Kerry, and these two women are going to vote for Bush. They don't get to go out and vote. But let me take a phone call. Stephen, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I've got one question for her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know,
mm-hmm.
Do you have a mm-hmm. one-inch black mustache above your lip?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a one-inch black mustache above your lip?
Do I have a 1-inch? What did he say, Phil?
Black mustache above your lip.
Do I have a 1-inch black mustache?
I'm not sure. I hate to repeat myself.
I don't know. Well, I'm terribly sorry, but you're going to have to because I don't know what you mean.
Well, you sound like a little Hitler to me. You cannot stop people from voting.
Arthur Hiller?
You cannot stop people from voting.
Hitler, Adolf Hitler.
Did he wear, a mustache?
Yes, he wore a little mustache.
Because I was thinking of Charlie Chaplin when he said that.
What planet is this person from?
You've never met Charlie. You've never seen Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, yes. I've seen Charlie Chaplin.
Well,
I'm 60 years old. I belong to a homeowners association. And I would own you if you tried to stop me from voting.
Well, look, your name is Stephen?
Yes.
First of all, I pride myself on trying to be very clear. Oliver Hardy wore a 1-inch mustache. Charles Chaplin wore a 1-inch mustache, and Hitler did. Are you speaking of... Which one are you speaking of?
You're getting off the point, lady. The lady...
No, I'm trying to be clear.
He's talking about Hitler. What, Oliver Hardy?
You might have met Oliver Hardy.
Well, I... See,
this lady is...
You are really not very clear about what you want to say. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say you're trying to dictate other people's lives, and you cannot do it.
What about Raleigh Fingers?
Raleigh Fingers had a handlebar mustache. Forget about Raleigh Fingers.
Well, Stephen, we have coming up on Tuesday our Falltacular.
I don't care.
Gazebo Journal is coming out. Sunset Magazine is coming out. Well,
I don't care.
I know you don't care because you're not in our HOA, but I care. That's what I'm trying to say. And so I need for these women to stay put.
But you cannot tell them they cannot vote.
Well, I have, and they are adhering so far to my wishes.
Well, if they adhere to your wishes, if they do adhere to your wishes, then they are not strong women, because you are a dictator.
Well, there's a dictator is someone who a dictator is Saddam Hussein. Oh, my God. He tortures everyone and everything. I'm putting on a fashion show. I never heard of Adolf Hitler doing a fashion show that I know of.
Why do you let this yacht on the radio?
Are you speaking to me, sir?
Well, I'm sorry. This
listen to the way he speaks.
Should
to
not be on here. She does. She dictates to people who they can, when they can, and when they cannot vote.
Would you call my wife a biatch?
You bet.
Why I like to.
Well, anytime, dude.
Yeah,
Vietnam, and I'll take you on anything.
That just means you're addicted to crack. I didn't mean it.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I said he's a Vietnam vet.
Are you a Vietnam veteran?
You betcha I'm a Vietnam vet.
Can I ask you, did you use heroin when you were over there? I read something about that.
Oh, man.
That's not necessary.
I did not.
Did a lot of guys go and kill gooks on heroin or...
Don't use that word.
Mr. Henry, you can't...
You may be able to tell your homeowners what to do. Don't tell me how to do my show. And don't use that language.
I call my wife a biatch.
I was being nice.
Do you have tattoos?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Oh, I want to know something. Do you have flashbacks and things like that where you want to kill?
Yes, I was, and I do.
Do you want to kill people at McDonald's and things?
Oh no, ma'am. No, I don't.
Oh, I heard about Vietnam veterans what want to do that.
Yeah, well, you're trying to stuff everybody into one story.
Well, listen, Stephen, I agree with you.
Well, that's a surprise.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I don't see how you can legally keep people from doing that. Thank you very much, Stephen. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Samantha on The Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, yes. I just want to basically ask this lady, are you an idiot?
Are you speaking to me? Hello?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, actually I am, and I can't believe it. I cannot believe that you are actually trying to prevent people from voting.
How dare you call me an idiot?
I can't believe you're actually trying to put on a fashion show.
I take Tai Chi.
Prevent people from going to be a part of something that is going to drastically affect their lives for the next 4 years.
The Falltacular is going to affect people's lives drastically. Have you been to a fashion show? Can the woman hear me? Hello, is the caller there? Is the caller there?
I guess we lost her. She's gone. All right, look, Bobby...
I'll take some more calls.
No, I don't want to take any more calls, okay?
All right, then cue my music. Hello, everybody, I'm Bobby Dooley from the Western States.
Let me lock it out, not you.
That was Bobby Dooley.
I mean, that was Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates.
That was Bobby Dooley. I mean,
that was Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Bobby?
Join me, everyone, for the Falltacular on Tuesday. Steve and I will be there. Remember, registration starts promptly at 10. Our fashion show's at noon, and our luncheon is at 2 o'clock. Please dress appropriately. Jeans, flip-flops, wife beaters, tank tops will not be allowed. Goodbye, everyone, from lovely Western Estates. War is so inconvenient.
God, I hate that woman. Hate her, hate her, hate her. It's Bobby and Steve. 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green coming up from Fraser Foods on a sexual harassment charge that he's having to deal with these days. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hello, I'm Lorne Green. You know, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's picking up dog crap. Here's my friend Sparky. All right, Spark? Say it again, Sparky. Yeah, good boy. You know, he's a great dog, but he leaves some loafs laying around in the front lawn that really tee me off. I can't stand it. I can't stand wearing that clear glove, and I hate it. Paid for by Nader for President. One 800 449 8686. World famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up now is a Jay Santos flashback, and then we'll have just a little bit more election news for you as we head toward the big day. Jay Santos was on our show yesterday talking about Operation Follow Through. He's going to go to your house, remind you that Tuesday is Election Day, ask you who you're voting for to make sure that you're not lying about voting, because if you know who you're going to vote for, then you're serious. And then he's going to come back and tell you to get out and vote. And a few callers thought he was nothing more than some rent-a-cop trying to play, well, like maybe a male Bobby Dooley, a hipster.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to make it very clear that no one has to answer any question that he has for them. First of all, if he knocks on their door and they say, we're not interested in talking to you, please leave, and he refuses to do so, then they have the right to call the police, the local police, not the rent-a-cop that he is, but they have the right to call the police.
We are fully, got an armband.
Listen, sir, you're talking to a retired state police officer of 32 years, of a lieutenant investigator.
Well, I totally respect that, sir.
Don't tell me what, because these people can call then the local police, and you can be arrested for criminal trespass.
Well, sir, then how come they won't tell me who they're going to vote for? Well, that's a red flag. Isn't that a red flag in law enforcement?
That's none of your concern, and it's no red flag.
Isn't that a red flag in law enforcement circles?
It's no red flag. No, nobody has to tell you who they're voting for. Absolutely no one.
The police, when they stop people on patrol, isn't it true you look for certain indicators, an individual may be alcoholic or
what have you? You're talking over your head. Yes, a cop has, as an investigator, I had the opportunity to stop and talk to people. But I just didn't drive up and knock on their glass and say, hey, how fast are you going? You do not have the right to walk up and knock on people's
door. But it's a red flag if someone's going over the speed limit. You will pull that person over and you will ask them, okay, let's see the driver's license. And, you know, let's have it, right?
You better go to the grocery store and buy apples and apples instead of trying to match apples with bananas because, you know, you are so far, you know, you talk about phony baloney.
If I could jump.
Well, sir, I see guys like you
at football games walking around strutting like they have some authority from some local police officer when you have absolutely no authority whatsoever.
Well, Bill is making a point here, Jay. He's a retired police officer.
I just want to ask one question.
What?
What's the fastest you went in your squad car on a police car deal?
You know, you don't have to ask me. We're talking about you going up and harassing people and talking about pepper spray. Do you know you could be arrested for carrying a can of pepper spray?
What are you talking about, apples? I'm talking about phony baloney. You're talking about apples.
You're the only phony baloney.
Well, you're talking all about apples and apples.
You're the only phony baloney. You could be arrested.
Hold on, Bill.
For
Bill,
pulling a can of pepper spray and
Bill,
spraying somebody.
Bill, hold the line. Is this gentleman Lloyd back on? Lloyd, sir, we only take one call a night.
I understand that, Phil, but I got angry and I wanted to apologize to you. I heard Bill talking, who's one of our very fine retired police officers, and I spent 6 years in the United States Navy defending this country. And I'll tell you something right now, and Bill, he can arrest me if he wants to. If you come to my door, brother, I got a baseball bat waiting.
I got to take it to the second level on you.
You take it to the second level on me, huh? And what is that supposed to mean? Man, I tell you, guys like you really pee me off. I could...
You get this man off the...
Sir, is Bill still there?
Yes.
Bill, seriously, how fast your police car goes? Did you chase a guy fast or anything? Kind of a deal?
What the hell? It's the difference does it make?
What's that got to do? You know, we're talking about somebody breaking the law and we're in pursuit. You're talking about going out and harassing people. Going out at night, going out in the dark, going out in the daylight. You're harassing people.
I don't see how it's different from walking up to someone's car and going, hey, let me see your driver's license because you're speeding. Hey, let me see who you're voting for because, you know, I don't know who you're voting for. What's the difference?
We have the right to pull people over. You do not have the right. Nor the authority because you wear some blue armband around your arm that lets you go up to knock on people's door and ask who are you voting
for. Did you make your quote at the end of every month on those speeding ticket deals?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Jay so desperately wants to be that guy he can taste it. And there's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, our favorite wannabe cop. And he's going to be getting out there and he's going to be reminding you to vote on Election Day. It's Phil Hendry Show here, our number 1-800-449-8686. Bob will be with us next hour with Lonely Hearts Radio. And we also have, of course, more importantly, I would say, Bob Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, joining us on a sexual harassment caper that he's been involved. I shouldn't say caper. He's been accused of sexual harassment. Now, the CIA and the FBI have authenticated a new Al-Qaeda videotape which warns of retribution for Americans electing Bush and Cheney. Now, I'm just going to read that one sentence because I don't need to read any more, because I know how people are going to react to this. A, the more fringe and paranoid among us, which that group gets bigger and bigger as the days get closer to the election, are going to say something like this. Bush must have phonied this up, sent it to Pakistan, sold it to an ABC producer, who then beamed it back to Washington, and, you know, and so it's all a Bush conspiracy. B, people are going to say, well, it's just not true, or the information on that tape isn't as they say it is. Or C, people are going to accept it at face value that it's an Al-Qaeda tape CIA and FBI have authenticated, and they do warn that if you vote for Bush and Cheney, you're all going to die. Now, this is something I used to say a lot to friends of mine when we'd just be sitting around talking about the world. It's a funny thing about people from other countries. They kind of assume they understand America. If we don't get the rest of the world, and we don't, it's equally true that the rest of the world doesn't get us. All I have to do is get an email from my brother-in-law in London, dumbass, to know that he's been infected with this peculiar brand of ignorance that the rest of the world has always had about the United States. They really don't know what makes us tick. And for Al-Qaeda to send a tape like this, and for them to use the typical words that they use, like, the streets will run with blood. And then they have all of these, you know, they're putting their cart before their horse. The guy says, the streets will run with blood, you shall die and pay the price. That is the verdict. Now here's the sentence. You will pay the price, okay? Anyway, a cat like that doesn't understand that he's playing right into... Americans have always had this traditional sense of don't screw with me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you wear a rag on your head or around your face. You don't screw. You don't mess with me. So the natural reaction people are going to have to this is to vote for Bush. In other words, do exactly what Al-Qaeda says not to do. And that's always blown my mind. The way, especially in the Middle East, the way they just don't really get how we think. Like the French. it was not good for them to say, we prefer Senator Kerry. I'm just saying, a lot of cats like Senator Kerry. A lot of people are going to vote for Senator Kerry. I'm not trying to bag on him. I'm saying it ain't cool for them to weigh in because Americans don't dig that. We've never liked it. We see it as meddling, and we've had a traditional, longstanding, centuries-old aversion to foreigners telling us, how, even if we perceive that they're telling us what to do, we don't dig it. So for the frogs to weigh in and say, yeah, Kerry's really cool, we like him, bad move, man. If you really want to help Senator Kerry and you are a foreign government, shut up. Seriously, man, shut up. But they don't. Why? They are as ignorant of us as they claim we are of them. Despite what dumbass my brother-in-law says, who is an honorary Englishman now.
You ought to live over here. You don't understand. These people really got a handle on things. I was an American, you forget. I lived in that country.
Yeah, I know. You're a little narcissistic, too, man. I don't think you see beyond the end of your own rather prominent nose. All right, anyway, that's the latest, baby. The tape has been authenticated. There's some cat on there who claims to be an American. The FBI says he is not because English is not. If he is American, he's not native-born because English does not seem to be his native language. He speaks with a very slight accent that he thinks he's probably covering up, and he's not. On the tape, he says that we are all, as Americans, guilty for what has happened in the Middle East and that we will pay the price in blood. That the streets of America will run with blood and America will mourn in silence because we will be unable to count the number of the dead, and on in the usual stuff, you know. Blah, 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 blah. A lot of talk and no act. A lot of talk and no act, baby. All right, Robert Greene coming up. Lonely Hearts Radio. Tomorrow night, Ted Bell will be on our show. Ted's at Beverly Hills. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8866.
All right, hold on for a minute. Let's start all over again. Robert Greene joins us from the home office of Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Mr. Greene oversees some 7 Fraser Food grocery outlets. He's not only the company CEO, but is a cluster manager of 3 of their stores. He joins us tonight on our newsmaker line because of something totally unrelated, really, to selling food. You requested, Mr. Greene, media time to put your side of the story out, a story that broke earlier today, in the case of Trudy Prescott, one of the checkers at your Buena Park store, who alleges that yesterday she was fondled or groped by you in your office, and that you spoke to her in a graphic and a sexually graphic manner, suggesting things, quote, you'd like to do to her. Now, there are some pretty tough charges here. You contacted media, requested some equal time. I understand your attorney is with you?
Yes, sir, he is.
And is this Mr. Wireman?
Yes, Phil, this is Harvey Wireman, Mr. Henry.
Okay, we've heard her story that you engaged in this behavior. What is your response?
First of all, I want to thank you very much for having me voice my side to this. I've known Trudy Prescott for the last 15 months, and in that time we've become very good friends. I would say very good friends. We've talked and had dinner together. We've had lunches together. We've exchanged greeting cards in the holidays. She's been to my home with her son. I have visited her home with my son and daughter. Yesterday, a story appeared on television about a new tape from the terror organization Al-Qaeda. It warned of dire disaster if the American people voted for George Bush. The speaker said the streets would run with blood, as I heard you just mentioning, Phil. As the result of hearing this news, I became very anxious. I wanted to go home early. I wasn't feeling well, as you might imagine, because I found myself very angry. When I heard this, I went to my office to retrieve my briefcase, and Trudy came by the office to ask about my health.
She was concerned about you?
She knew that I had left the floor. She came by and asked, and I want to repeat this, she asked if there was anything she could do. When I told her I wasn't feeling well and was going to go home, it was at that time I realized that I had spent the last year and a half being friends with a woman that I felt much more strongly about, mindful that I had heard this horrible news about this Al-Qaeda organization, and as a result, mindful that this is a very fragile world we live in, I simply reached out for her, and I began to hug her.
Okay.
Feeling very strongly about her and very worried about my country. And today I received the news that she has repaid me my friendship and my sincere expression of affection by filing a complaint with the police that I allegedly fondled her and made some lewd comments to her against her wishes. And nothing could be further from the truth. I was expressing love.
Can you tell me, Bob, if I can interrupt, exactly what you did upon embracing her? Because she made a rather detailed complaint to the police.
Well, I know what she told the police. What I did was I hugged her and around the shoulders and the back, and I unconsciously pushed my hand down the back of her pants. But here is my argument.
All right, well, that's, you know...
But here is my argument. Can you call that harassment when you've been friends with this woman? It's an instinct that a man who loves a woman, when he embraces her, to just, I guess, push his hand down the back of her pants. But
well, maybe a boyfriend and a girlfriend or a husband and a wife, where a man is playfully making love to his wife. But this woman and you had not reached that stage.
That's what I told the police, though, that when I heard about the Al-Qaeda tape, I realized that I loved her. And
Phil, let me, I want to jump in. This is Harvey Weierman.
Go ahead, Harvey.
We not only allege that our client did nothing wrong, we are saying that Ms. Prescott is guilty of sexual harassment by turning this situation sexual. He was simply reacting out of an anxious feeling, and I would dare say that his hand, when I spoke with Mr. Green, didn't go, you know, he just put it underneath her pants, and that's it. And to say that that's sexual harassment after Al-Qaeda has threatened to murder more Americans, I think the gentleman was in a state of anxiety. And we will say that Ms. Prescott was actually sexually harassing him by even bringing sex into it.
Well, it says here, and did you remove your pants?
I did not remove my pants. I began to take my belt off, yeah.
Because she says you started taking your pants off.
I had taken off my belt, but this is beside the point. I had spent quality time with this woman, with our kids, and so when this nervousness and anxiety overcame me, I wanted to let her know.
All right. 1-800, but you tell me the story. It sounds like while your anxiety, you know, your anxiety-ridden and so forth, that you might have still been in the wrong. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. When Americans are feeling highly anxious over these new terror threats, do traditional acts of sexual harassment suddenly become something we should look at more closely? Like maybe it isn't sexual harassment. You said, at least this lady says, and you agreed, she says that you started taking off your pants. And
let me ask you something, Mr. Henry. How long do you think a guy should be asked to wait before he's allowed to have sexual expectations? I showed this woman nothing but respect, and we were close friends. We would call each other in the middle of the night and just talk and so forth.
Well, let me talk to Mr. Weierman. Sir, you are claiming on behalf of your client that he reacted normally.
We are claiming that Mr. Green, driven to a state of fear and anxiety by the news of the day, made the decision to have sex with a woman that he had long admired, and that that was a normal reaction, and that her refusal and subsequent action to the police constitutes in and of itself a sexual harassment.
All right, now you know that anybody listening to this is going to think we're kidding, because we're talking about what some people would see as a clear-cut case of sexual harassment, and you're trying to excuse it on the grounds that you were anxious, that she was a friend, so you would not have to get her consent to put your hand down her pants.
Mr. Henry, that is not what we are saying at all. We contend that what Mr. Green did was not sexual harassment, because he knew her very well and had been a friend for 15 months, and that it was not harassing her per se to put his hand down the back of her pants. His fingers extended only a few inches below the waistline of the dress jeans that she was wearing.
What about him removing his pants?
Mr. Green has gone swimming at Miss Prescott's home. He spent the night there with his children on more than one occasion. It isn't the first time he has taken his pants down in her proximity. You see, Phil, what we are saying more than anything else, the rules have changed since 9/11. The anxiety that most Americans feel when they contemplate the possibility of having to fight another sustained war drives them to desire, naturally, the company of a woman or a man, and in so doing, their hand may slip down under, you know, up under the skirt. The time has come not to see this as sexual harassment, but a man's normal desire to reach out and hold a female out of need for human contact. And we are going to make that case.
See, I did start to take my pants off. But it wasn't about the sex. It was really just about the fact...
Are you saying that you suddenly realized that you loved her?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And that the threat from Al-Qaeda and this terrible news of the day had sort of coalesced this in your mind?
That is correct.
And so therefore, you were acting out of love.
I was acting out of love, and not only that, she's not a stranger. She's somebody that I've been friends with.
Had she ever been sexual with you, or you with her?
No, but that's not the point.
Well, see, that's so...
But how long is a guy supposed to... See,
let me say this. Mr. Green is trying to say a guy takes a woman out over a period of 15 months. At some point, we believe that he has reasonable expectation that she's going to come to the table with something that a little more than a kiss on the cheek and a thanks very much for another $300 dinner. And... after he heard about Al-Qaeda and all the stuff that they're going to make everybody die, he decided that he was going to have sex with her, and now all of a sudden she's surprised by it.
Well, there are a lot of women who assume that a man's a friend, and they're shocked when he advances sexually.
Let me tell you something. I'm speaking as a 78-year-old man who was married for 40 years. I love that one. Oh, it's a real surprise, huh? Yeah, sure. Oh boy, that's...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That is Harvey Wireman, the attorney for Mr. Robert Green, who has been had a criminal complaint of sexual harassment filed against him. He's out on bail. He says that he came onto the woman because he suddenly realized he loved her after hearing that Al-Qaeda was threatening to blow the country up again. And she wouldn't... I guess even though she was a friend, she wouldn't have anything to do with it. He says, well, he spent 15 months being her friend. At what point, according to the attorney, at what point can a man expect for a woman to come to the table with something more than a good night kiss? 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Popeye, why don't you grab a piece of spinach and slide off?
We are back with Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. This is a very profound thing to be arrested for sexual harassment.
I'm a father and I am a husband, and this is, without question, the most insidious thing that has ever been perpetrated on me.
But you clearly see yourself as a victim here.
If I could, Mr. Wireman.
Go ahead.
Without question, my client's a victim. This organization, Al-Qaeda, threatening the streets of America to be running with blood. And then he realized that he was in love with this woman, and he slipped his hand down her, down the back of her pants, and that's a normal, natural reaction for a man to have.
I don't know. I mean, hugging is one thing. When your hands go to a certain place...
Well, again, she said, how come I got to date her for 15 months? And she doesn't...
She's not coming to the table.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Linda, hi. You're on the air with Phil Hendry, Harvey Wireman, and Robert Green.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I've been driving and I've been listening to your show. I always enjoy listening to your radio talk show. And you have to take accountability for your actions. And this is a joke. I mean, right, next day there's an earthquake, we're nervous because of a natural disaster, and we're going to take advantage of a woman we work with?
Well, I'm not saying that an earthquake isn't going to come and kill me in a mall or something. In other words, it doesn't have a brain, but Al-Qaeda wants to come and kill us. And I was very concerned about that. And then I saw Trudy, and I said, you know, I've known this woman 15 months. I said, I realized I felt very deeply for her, and I naturally put my hand down there, and now this is what I get?
Well, I mean, you're doing a little shorthand here, Mr. Green. I was worried about Al-Qaeda, so I naturally put my hand down there.
I don't understand. If I could help the lady, I don't know what I'm not saying. That's clear.
Linda, you there? You gone?
Yes, yes. Okay, I can hear you. It's just weird.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, and I love her. And she says I sexually harassed her.
But you've had 15 months to express your feelings for her, and you definitely took a wrong turn as far as showing your feelings towards her, and she took it the wrong way.
She's treating me like a friend. At what point don't women start to say, okay, let's do it?
Well, I don't know that it's...
I think we have verbal communication, and if you're expressing your feelings, we can easily tell you, yes, we're interested, or no, we just want to stay friends. I'm listening to this, and I'm just, I'm floored, and I'm amazed that we are blaming, you know, we're using Al-Qaeda as an excuse for our own actions.
Well, I was worried about this group, Al-Qaeda, and I hugged her, and my hands reached down, and I grabbed her butt, but I wasn't trying to sexually harass her.
What do you call that, then?
A showing of affection. A natural showing of affection. And I don't know if the lady's still there, but maybe you can give me some... How long do you date a guy before you go ahead and do it?
I've dated husband for 9 months, and you know what? It was very clear that the feelings were mutual, and... It wasn't out of fear or out of the...
Nine months? Man, he must be a saint.
If I could jump in, I'm the attorney, Ms. Linda. Is that the name?
Yes.
Hello, Linda. I'm Harvey. My client feels that he brought her flowers and candies and all of that, and at some point there's a little reciprocation. Now Al-Qaeda says they're going to blow everything to hell and back, and he figures that there's going to be much more time for him, you know, for her to make with the, if I may put it colloquially, make with the goods. And so he inadvertently squeezed her butt.
That's what I did, yeah.
I just think this is disrespectful, and it sounds like a joke that you're using this excuse for your action.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry, I'm driving
on
the road,
no
and
problem.
I'm kind of getting...
I appreciate your call, thank you.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Sue.
I don't think she understood what I was saying.
Never mind. Sue, go ahead.
Hi. I just have 2 points. One is, you made the comment you wined and dined her for 15 months. You spent a lot of money on her.
Yeah.
That is your fault that you did that, okay? You could have took her to a restaurant that didn't cost $300. No one told you you had to do that.
No, that's not going
to be invited. And nobody expects, when you take someone out to dinner, you're not expected to do something in return. That's just a common gesture to take someone out if you want to.
But if Al-Qaeda says they're going to blow the country up, don't you think I'm entitled to at least some kind of a grope or anything?
No.
My client believes
that's just like saying, because there's no milk in the house, I get to go home and screw someone. No, that doesn't count.
I don't understand. That's you're comparing apples
you're reaching for strings to cover up what you did. What you did is basically rape that lady.
What?
Okay.
Now, hold on just a moment. My client did nothing of the sort. He simply has put out over the last 15 months some $16,000 in vacations and...
that's his problem.
Well, yeah, at what point are we not talking any longer about Al-Qaeda, and you're just talking about the money you put out?
But the Al-Qaeda...
You brought it up.
Well, the Al-Qaeda...
You brought up the amount of money he spent on her.
I just want to say...
And that is his problem, nobody else's. If he couldn't afford it, he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, but I just
And you shouldn't expect anything in return.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I would agree with you, Sue, if Al-Qaeda hadn't gone on TV yesterday and said that everybody's going to die.
Did Al-Qaeda call you up and tell you to do this?
they might as well have.
You're
that.
Making
well,
no
that is,
sense.
That's the point we're trying to make. Yes, in point of fact, Al-Qaeda did direct him to do this.
Now, wait
then
a minute.
Then how come everybody else didn't do it?
How are you figuring?
Well, we don't know
how
that.
Come,
we don't,
how come everybody else didn't do the same thing?
Well, we don't know that everybody else didn't do the same
okay.
thing.
Okay.
We don't know.
Your,
did a man
client
touch you?
Basically decided to do this. You
did any man touch you? Did any man touch you yesterday?
Don't answer that, Sue. These questions are very personal, okay?
No, but I'm trying to make the point. I can have you subpoenaed to find out if a guy grabbed your rear end the day
The reason why you're saying that is because you're wrong, okay? Because you know that using Al-Qaeda is an excuse for something your client did very wrong.
I wined and dined
her.
Can't I just brush up against her butt then?
This is, sounds juvenile. All right, Sue, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Here's another Sue. Sue, go ahead.
Hi. I just had a comment to make in regards to both sides. I think, first of all, I feel for the gentleman in some regard because I understand that sometimes women do tend to lead on men, and so do
absolutely.
Men do women.
That's my whole point.
And at the same time, I don't regard some kind of, flowers, gifts, vacations equaling, engagement in
sex. What about the Al-Qaeda factor?
We give those out of the goodness of our heart and also that we want to show that we respect and we love somebody. So we don't use that
in
terms of getting
America,
engagement in sexual relations.
Don't you think that women should rethink that in light of the fact that all the men could die from Al-Qaeda?
In regards to Al-Qaeda or any other event that happens on the news or anything like that, I understand that people get into, shock reactions or...
Yeah, okay.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, I'm Bob, and welcome to Lonely Hearts Radio. Tonight on our love songs, we'll be dedicating to the one you love. A song that hopefully will rekindle that flame long ago extinguished. Tonight we're going to be inaugurating our new email dedications. If you care to email us, you can do that at Bob, in care of this station, on Love Songs with Bob. Just email us, but please understand that I don't read very well due to the fact that I wanted to become a disc jockey and therefore didn't pay much attention in school. As the result, my reading skills are very limited. They are about the level of a third grader. However, send in your emails now, and we'll dedicate Love Songs with Bob. Here is our very first love song dedication. And it comes to us from Tina Broden. Dear Bob. Would you dedicate a song to my husband who is in Iraq? I would appreciate that if you would. Thank you, Tina. Well, we'll do that for you, Tina. Here is Love Hurts from
Love Hurts. 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 Love Hurts.
has been Love Songs with Bob. Love songs from a guy who sounds sexy and beautiful, but in point of fact is 5'3", 340 pounds.
Love Songs is a production of Love Songs with Bob Incorporated. I'm Sid.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Pahil, Pahil, Phil, Heh.
Never mind. You'd be surprised at how close to the truth that is. More guys work in this business that are high school dropouts. I mean, I ain't saying I'm a brain surgeon, but I did get a high school diploma. By the way, we would like to thank Robert Greene in the middle of a terrible situation there, fondling that woman because Al-Qaeda made him do it. If you want to email Mr. Greene and ask him more about his plight, Robert Greene at PhilHenryShow.com. Robert Greene at PhilHenryShow.com. Last name is spelled G-R-E-E-N-E. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show, and our 2004 CD is available now on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. Actually, advance orders we are taking. And if you want to see what the cover looks like, you can go to our website right now, check that out. And, oh, you know, the thing that we don't have on the website is a list of the cuts. A list of the cuts we should put up, Chris. But I can tell you, I previewed it yesterday, it's outstanding. It's a CD of calls, a CD of skits, and it's all there on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. So, if you're interested in helping the people at my friend's place, because all the money goes to my friend's place, and you want to round out your collection of our CDs, it's available now. And while you're there, check out Bud's Babe of the Week every week. Bud posts a picture of a woman that he thinks is just so hot. And
oh, be sarcastic, why don't you?
Well, Teresa Carey? Good God. I mean, the picture of her is not bad.
What's wrong? She's hot.
Whew. Anyway, check out Bud's Babe of the Week. Who's next week, man? Dr. Laura?
Well, you're going to get in trouble for that.
No, she's very lovely. I'm not,
You're really in trouble.
Well, you're the one trying to kiss butt on all these powerful women. I thought you said you were going to put Rita Crosby, or Cosby, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I like them big like that.
Boy, what a jerk. 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, check that out on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. It's our best of CD, and it's truly the best one we've ever done. We're really proud of it. Really, really proud of it. By the way, I just heard an ad for Jon Stewart's Daily Show. Did you hear that? Now, see, they're promoting that guy's show the way it ought to be promoted. After you've heard all of the news, then listen to a newscast with stories that we make up, of news that we make up, right? So they immediately let you know that he is supposed to be funny. Now, you'd think that that would happen on, you know, a lot of the stations that have me on, they do that. But some of these stations, I don't know what the hell to do with me, and they put the show on there as if, well, here's another talk show. And, you know, he's just like Bill O'Reilly, and then I'll ride on into Michael Savage, and then ride on into Glenn Beck, and then, you know, and then people go, what is this weird ass you got on at night? And you're talking to a program director, he couldn't figure it out, man, with both hands. So there I am. Just come on and say, hey, at the end of the day, put on Phil, because he's like, he turns talk radio on its head, it's a joke, it's a comedy show, it's a whatever the hell you want to call it, for God's sake. All right, taking a look at our news today, Fox News Channel's television host Bill O'Reilly and a former producer of his talk show have agreed to settle their legal dispute over her allegations. In other words, he paid her money. So, obviously, there was some truth. I mean, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon. There was some truth to the fact that he talked dirty to her. But whether he sexually harassed her is a whole other question. Fact remains, she had him over a barrel. She had him over this stuff was going to go public. And not only that, but even if the man, even if he was engaged in conversation that was consensual, he's a married guy, so it don't look too good, okay? Next thing you know, he's Kobe Bryant. Brain scans unlock candidate's appeal. Did you hear this one? Doctors now believe that a Kerry voter, now I'm not just saying this. This is from a study, and this is on ABC News. Joshua Friedman and Marco Iacoboni of the University of California, UCLA. A Kerry voter
is more because they studied the brain waves of different voters, Kerry voters and Bush voters. A Kerry voter is more narcissistic, more concerned with himself, and is unable to see a larger... You ready for that? What could be more telling? What could be more of a campaign endorsement for Bush than a couple of doctors saying a Kerry voter tends to be more narcissistic and a Bush voter tends to be more open-minded? Open-minded. All you got to do is a talk show, man, for like a year around this stuff. You can figure that out. Open-minded as opposed to narrow and mean. You got the Kerry ones on one side, and you got the Bush guys on the other side.
Which is which?
I just got done telling you which is which. No Halloween for sex offenders. A Texas county has told registered sex offenders to stay in their homes and not take part in the festivities on Halloween when costumed children go from house to house seeking treats. They won't decorate, they won't turn on their porch lights, they will not give out candy, and they will not be on the streets after dark. Halloween should not be curb service for perverts, according to the district attorney of Bexar County, which is San Antonio. We're trying to keep our kids from going to sex offenders' houses, knocking on the doors, and having a pervert meet them there. Under Texas law, those convicted of a sex crime are included on a registry which is open to the public. Well, there you go. Just look at the thing. And, you know, at what point, though, do we stop harassing these guys after they've gotten out of prison? I'm just asking. Did they go to prison? Yes. Did they pay their debt to society? Yes. At what point do you cease and desist on this legally sanctioned harassment? I mean, it's a disgusting, sick, and horrible crime, but a crime with a punishment. And when the punishment is meted out and the man or the woman submits to that punishment successfully, and then they are released from incarceration and they're put back into society, where is it written that you still get to harass them? That's all I'm asking. See, you can't ask those questions, though, because, well, it's one of those unspoken things. You know, well, of course it's America, but we all understand that certain people of certain color are not allowed. And then I realize the guy's a pervert, but the fact of the matter remains the dude did what the guy did, and then he went to prison. Now he's out, and they're saying, hey, you just stay inside your house. If I'm one of those guys, I say, I think I've paid my debt to society. I'm not committing any other crimes, correct? Correct. So, why don't you get out of my face? But they can't do that, see, because when it comes to these guys, it's okay to go to their house and, like, set fire to it. You can stand out there with signs and axe handles and beat on a guy's car as he's trying to go to work. And there ain't a cop in the world that's going to intervene. Not a one. Pretty sad, if you ask me. I realize I'm in the minority on that. I realize I'm totally in the minority on that. But I think it's still kind of that Frankenstein mentality, which is the monster's up there on the top of the hill. Let's go get him. Remember when Frankenstein threw that little girl in the pond? Did you ever see Frankenstein? He picked the little girl up. He saw her throwing flower petals in the pond. So he thought she was beautiful. She was throwing beautiful things in the pond, so he would do it too. And he picked her up and threw her in the pond. It's one of the funniest scenes from the movie. But, of course, it was a metaphor for child killers and child molesters, right? He did what? You know, and they just went after him. That's what prompted them to go after him. And they tied him up and they set fire to the whole damn thing. But not before he threw Igor off the top of the tower, which was very cool. Fewer surfers are prowling for porn. Dig that. As we go to the internet now, whereas 20% of all searching was sex-related back in 1997, in the United States of America, it is down to 5%. Americans are finally using the internet as a tool rather than just as an entertainment medium. In other words, we stopped being sort of curious apes, and now we've evolved into a semi-curious, semi-skilled people with this strange thing called a computer. Now, how can you not believe in evolution and hear a story like that? When we first got the computers, we were like monkeys going, you know, hitting and looking at the porn and jumping up and down in front of the screen like an ape would in front of a fire. And now we sort of have evolved just a little bit. Oh, I see. There's other things I can do besides sit here with just a T-shirt and no pants. Oh, look at this. It's like having a public library in your house, man. It's great. So they say that there are fewer people. Guess where they're still up around 8-10% using porn on the web? Europe. All right. I bet you my... never mind. I was going to say something about my brother-in-law and his credit cards. But anyway. As we get back to the story about Al-Qaeda, ABC withheld portions of this alarming new tape. The CIA and FBI late Wednesday authenticated the tape.
ABC's been informed of the government's standing. What took place on September 11th was but the opening salvo of the global war in America. ABC held back the portion that says, basically, if you vote for Bush and Cheney, you are going to be targeted. Now, I want to know what ABC's reasoning is for that. Probably there isn't any. I want to know what CBS's reasoning is for dumbing up forged documents and then disseminating them as if they're fact about President Bush. I'd like to know a lot of stuff that I'm never going to get the answer to any of this stuff. What seems to be the major malfunction with you people? When did you stop being journalists? When did the LA Times decide they want to be the New York Times of the West Coast and are failing miserably? When did the New York Times decide that they just didn't want to be journalists anymore? They're going to start dumbing up stories. I mean, I realized that when Phil Hendry hit the air doing phony calls and having real people believe them, that it was kind of interesting. But are all you people trying to lift my act? Talk about being paranoid. These guys are like, you know, making, everything's like made up now. I get it. It was make it up. Made up news. Yeah, just like Bush made up those weapons of mass destruction, Phil. Yeah, there you go. Bush did it, right? Can we maybe get over that one and say Bush made it up, Kerry made it up? We don't want to throw Kerry in that, is it? Is that right? We can't do that, even though he believed they were there too? Okay, I'm sorry. We'll let Bush do it. You know what? Bush has just grown up enough to take the heat. I don't know whether Kerry is or not. By the way, Kerry was out there with the boss, Bruce Springsteen, singing about America's ideals and about America's history and about America's vision. And if Bruce is getting some information from John Kerry that he ain't laying on us, I think you really ought to share it with us, man, because if you're talking about Kerry having a vision, man, the rest of us don't know what it is. Would you please, like, sing about it or something? Tell us. It would be very nice. You have access to the guy. You're talking to him. He must be articulating his plan to you very clearly for you to say John Kerry embodies 50 years of American history and therefore is a... What, you know what, Springsteen? You don't make any sense anymore when you talk than you do when you sing. Why don't you go sing about some gas stations or something, man? Get out of here. And Yasser Arafat's going to Jordan, then Paris for treatment of, it's either stomach cancer, the flu, allergy. He needs a nose job. I don't know what the hell his problem is, man, but he probably ain't going to live past the week. He's probably going to be deader than freaking, he's going to be deader than Custer, man, by the week's end. And then everybody will, like, riot and blame it on America. 1-800-449-8686. So there you are. You're up to date, baby. The world as we see it. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show, our best of the year 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. Pre-order now on our website, www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm going to close out with a cut from our 2004 Best of CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. This is just a little taste. I don't know if we're going to be able to get the whole thing in before the hour ends, but here it is. This is Ted Bell talking to a caller about how he doesn't like the fact that my show has sent a lot of lowbrow, low-income people into his restaurant, people that don't even know how to dress.
I would like to know why you feel like we should not bring up issues like this. This is everyday issues. Everybody does not have money. Everybody is not born with money.
What was that? What happened?
Hold on, I'm sorry. Hold on. What? Someone just pulled in a Ford Ranger truck.
What difference does it make what they drive?
I got to take care of this, Phil.
Okay, Crystal, go ahead. Give us your opinion. Ted's taking care of something in the parking lot. And you feel that it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I feel that it's unnecessary that he feels like someone should not pull up in the restaurant in a damn Rolls Royce.
I'm sorry, Phil. A guy pulled up in a Ford Ranger and wanted it valeted, and I was sick all over the front of my suit, so I'm going to have to change my shirt. If you can give me just 60 seconds.
Go ahead.
Can you just, like...
Let me ask you something, Crystal. This is Phil Hendry. What do you think about a guy that screams as if he's just seen Frankenstein?
To me, is sickening.
And not only that,
He made the remark that he just threw it up all over the front of his shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, is sickening. I guess he thinks that everybody should walk around with thousands of dollars in their pocket. We don't have that. All everybody right. doesn't have it.
Is this Crystal? Crystal is Ted Bell. Let me ask you a question. If I asked you if you wanted Pellegrino or flat water, what am I talking about?
If I wanted Pellegrino or flat water.
What's the difference between the two? And, Phil, do you have that Jeopardy music that we could...
No, I don't have the Jeopardy music. I'm not going to make fun of people.
I don't want to make fun of her either. I just... How long's
it... Well, you don't have to make fun of me.
Well, how long's it going to take you to
I'm
answer
just
the
saying,
question?
Why would I want to go to some... And I understand your point of view,
you
but why would I want to go to someone's restaurant that is going to get on... It, okay, let's say that I don't have as much money as you, and I want to go out to eat somewhere nice, and let's say my husband takes me.
Wait a minute. What happened, Ted? Well, that's just a little bit of Ted Bell from our CD. Ted, you're going to be on tomorrow night?
I am, Phil, and I'm very proud to be on your CD. The fact that I helped, but that was not a pleasant memory, vomiting all over a brand new suit. Wow.